Well, good morning.
Woo.
It is March Madness. Did you know that? March Madness. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been a VIP? Anybody? VIP. VIP status. All right, we got one, two. That's it. Come on, VIPs. Oh, someone's pointing their husbands back there. It's cool to be a VIP, right? Anybody? I mean, or you at least can dream about it. Only three people in here have ever been one besides me and Stephen Hawk, right? Where's Stephen? Where are you at? Back there in the back. Yeah. It is a cool feeling. I love that video. I had to figure out some way to incorporate in a message in March Madness. I mean, you just have to. In case you don't know, last year, March Madness, I'm a huge Duke fan. And what was I even thinking? I left my hat back here. I was going to wear that. Hope this isn't disrespectful. But Duke plays Michigan today. Stephen became a Duke fan until today when they play Michigan, who's his favorite team. So now he switched back to Michigan. But this is my favorite now, favorite Duke hat. I don't wear it. It sits in a safe place at my house. Because this is the hat that the whole team signed last year after the championship game. So I have a gun in my back pocket. If you want to try me and take it, then you can try. But I'm telling you right now, it won't end well for you. But yeah, I was wearing this hat at the beginning of the night. So last year, you know, I'm a huge Duke fan. Duke made it to the championship game, which I didn't expect to happen. They didn't have a great offense. They had great defense. But they got lucky. They got there. I don't care how they got there, and that's all that matters. So I realized the great thing about being up here is that Michigan State was in it as well in the Final Four, but they didn't make it to the championship game. And I'm on Craigslist, you know, I look for deals. I saw people selling their tickets to the championship game in Indianapolis, only 3 hours away. And I started thinking, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If I don't go now to see Duke in the championship game, I won't be able to see them in another championship game till at least another year, maybe three. So it was a really, really tough decision. And I figured, hey, if I can get a cheap ticket and gas, I can drive down and see the game. So I called up Stephen Hawk, who loves basketball. He talked his parents into letting him miss a day of school. And we jumped in my car, my old beat-up Camry, and luckily it got us there. Had to get a milkshake on the way. And we got to the game. Now, we had nosebleed seats. I mean, way, way, way up there. But I'm not a nosebleed seat kind of guy. So we snuck down and found some seats and got real lucky right down about 40 rows back. It was awesome. Every seat in the stadium was filled except for our two seats. The two people that didn't show, I don't know if they died in a car wreck on the way there or what happened, because no one else missed that game. The funniest part is we realized we're sitting in the Butler section and we had all Duke gear on, so they didn't like us, but we weren't leaving because we weren't getting in anywhere else. So we stayed in those seats and enjoyed the game, and it was just an amazing experience. From there, we decided afterwards we didn't have anywhere to go. We were staying at my grandparents' house in Indianapolis. They weren't home. We were just going to go stay in the house. So we're like, hey, let's try to meet the players. So we walked around the stadium and realized, hey, we're not going to meet them here. It's too tightly guarded. Let's follow their bus. They got to be going to a hotel or a party or something. So grabbed my sweet 93 Camry and waited by the exit, and the bus drove out. We followed the bus to the Hyatt Inn. I should have known the Hyatt Indianapolis. That's the only nice hotel there. I should have known that's where they're going. And we followed them there, and we thought we were going to be smart, you know, and see the Duke players there. Well, there are like 3,000 other people already there waiting for the bus. I mean, just craziness, cops everywhere, garden. So we run in, we get inside, and we realize all the Duke players are walking down to the basement, and they're guarding the stairs. You can't go down the stairs or down the elevators to the basement. And that's where they're doing the trophy presentation. So we're standing there, we're watching. They have the trophy presentation going down right below us on TVs up there, big screen TVs, so you could watch and you could cheer and stuff like that. You know, Coach K and everybody's accepting it and touching the trophy. So we're sitting there thinking, and it just hit me. I said, there's got to be another way into that room. You might have known some of my stories. I've snuck back into a lot of places. Snuck backstage at a Wizards game and came this close to meeting Michael Jordan. He was guarded, but I got to meet every other player on the Wizards and the Detroit Pistons. Snuck back to see Hulk Hogan when I was 10 years old with my brother Mike. Got to meet Hulk Hogan. He shook my hand. It was unreal. Snuck back to a lot of stuff. You know, snuck backstage and met Jimmy Johnson, my favorite football coach for the Cowboys. Got to meet him and talk with him. He was drunk, though, but I got to meet him. So to me, the only reason I'm following the team is I'm going to get in the party. You know, I'm going to be a VIP. I'm going to get in there. So I said, Stephen, follow me. Let's go. There's got to be another way. And so we get in the elevator. I go up to the second floor. You know, you go up to get down, you know. You got to go around. Walk down the hallway. Sure enough, another stairwell, just like I thought. There's another stairwell. I was like, oh, man, I can't believe it's another stairwell. So we walk down. Nobody, no guards, no nothing. We walk down the stairs. I get to the bottom of the door. You can hear the party going on right outside the door. And I look at Sam like, there's no way this thing's unlocked. There's no way. Sure enough, unlocked. I'm just like, holy cow, this is awesome. And I looked at Steve, I was like, are you ready to do this? And I could see the fear in his eyes. he said, yeah. I said, once I open this door, just keep walking, follow me. Don't look at anybody. Keep your head up. Act like you're supposed to be here. You know, I'd given him my other Duke hat. I bought this Duke hat there, so I had a nice new one. He had my old junky one that smells like a dirty shoe. And we walked through that door and walked straight in. It was awesome. And that video I took right at the beginning where it saw the sign that said, you must have a wristband to be down here. You know, I thought that was funny. So I took a little picture, a little video. And we walked right by it. And we're down there. One guard caught us and he said, where's your wristband? I was like, oh, I don't have a wristband. He's like, we can't come in. I was like, all right. But we're in the lobby of the downstairs. And like John Shire was out there. Some of the players are out there. So I was like, that's cool. I'll stay out here. Well, then we realized there's a hallway. We walked down the hallway. There's another door to the banquet. No guard there. So right in we go. Free prime rib and mashed potatoes and everything you wanted. In there. So as you saw, we're sitting at the table with Nolan Smith eating dinner, eating their prime rib and their stuff. We weren't going to eat because I felt bad about that. But they had four buffet tables. And I'm too cheap to buy anything at the stadium. It's 2 a.m., 1 a.m., I'm starving, and everybody's eating, and there's like tons of food left. I'm like, I'm getting some of this prime rib and shrimp, whatever it was. There's a ton of stuff. Went through the line, sat with Nolan Smith at his table, listened to him talk, and met all the players except for Dawson and Coach K. Coach K went to his room right when we got there, before we got there. So that stunk, but I got every player to sign my hat with Steven's help. I had to send the kid, you know, to them. Mike Dunleavy, which was one of my favorite college players. I took another like Shane Battier picture. If you saw Shane Battier, he was the guy not looking at me. And I'm like, you know, right here. He was talking, didn't want to take a picture. I did the same thing with Mike Dunleavy. They weren't very nice, but I got them to sign my hat as well. Danny Ferry, all these old players were there, got to sign it. It was just an amazing night. And we left there. And this is the best part of the story. We decided, well, we're going to leave. Let's go up the main stairs where everybody is and walk out that way, you know, not the back way. So we walk up the stairs and the guard opens the gate for us, you know, and all the people are like, oh, is Singler still down there? Is Zubek still down there? And all this are like, no, yeah, they're still down there. They're just partying, you know. And they're like, can you take us down there? And we're like, no, man, no, we can't take you down. And walk through all these thousands of people. We go to my car. And then we decided, let's go back because I wanted to give them my card and tell them, you ever need pastoral services, prayer or anything, give me a call. And so I went back to my car, got some cards. And we walked back in and we were going to go to the elevator, go to the second floor and just go in the same way we had snuck in the first place. But when we walked in, the guard remembered us and he opened the gate for us. It's like, come on in, sir. Me and Stephen Bober just like, yeah, that's right. Let's go, man. Go party. So we go down there. We spend another hour. We just couldn't leave. It was just too cool. You couldn't leave until the end. But it was just an amazing night. And it's something special about being a VIP. You know, that's really my only VIP experience is when I sneak into the VIP area. But I'm one of God's VIPs. And it was just an amazing time and something that I'll never forget, and I know Stephen will never forget, which is bad news for him. That means he'll never forget me. No matter how long he lives, he will remember Matt Hancock. And it was just an amazing night, just an amazing memory, and it was just great. And it was an awesome party. The guys were great there. It wasn't like everybody was drunk. They weren't really drinking, which was great. It was just really cool to be a part of, and especially for a team you love like Duke. Ever since I was little, loved Duke. And it was a great thing. And the thing about today is, I want us to think about that. I really want to be God's VIP, and I want to be at his party. Because he's going to throw a party that's off the chain. If you know what that means it's really good. That's teen talk. It's going to be off the chain. He's going to have more bling than anybody in his streets of gold and all of his stuff. It's going to be unreal when we get there and get to be a part of this party. And the cool thing is, we don't deserve it. Just like me and Stephen didn't deserve to go into that party. We don't deserve any of this party God is setting up. We've messed it up. We don't have a ticket. We don't have a wristband. There's no reason for us to be there except that God made a way. He made a way. He made a back door. You know, he figured it out because we messed it up by sinning in the garden. God had made it. He had created this party, this thing for us. Humans couldn't take it. They messed it up. And God had to figure out another way that we could be a part of his party, be a VIP for him. And I'm so glad he did that for us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so that we could be saved, so that we could get into the party. The cool thing is we don't have to sneak in. You can't sneak in. I'm sure there's guards at there. They won't be missing an elevator or missing a stairwell at Jesus' party. But he gives us free admission when we ask him. And how do we get in it? How do we get to be a part of it? Well, he tells us in Matthew 25, and I think a lot of people wouldn't really turn to Matthew 25 in this situation. But I think given the last month and the last few weeks of what's been going on in our youth group and the church and the world, Matthew 25 is really, I think, where we need to look. Now, chapters 23 through 25 talks a lot about the end of times, what to watch for, what's going to happen, and how God's going to judge at the end of time. Some people believe we're in the end times. Some people believe we're not in end times. It really doesn't matter because we should be living like it's end times no matter what. But the bottom line is that God is coming back, and we don't know when, and tomorrow's not guaranteed. And today we need to live like today's our last day to live for Christ, our last day to live for him. And it's cool. He starts off Matthew 25 verse 31 is where I want to look, and we're going to skip back in a second. But Matthew 25 verse 31 says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory, may he comes back, he collects everybody. It's sort of like the end of time. All the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. Come into the party. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous, the people on the right, they will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he'll turn to those on his left, the goats. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for you by the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will inherit eternal life. Now you might say, well, that's not the way we get to heaven. We have to accept Christ into our hearts, and we have to say a prayer, and we have to, you know, do these things, these steps. But I love how God lays this out. You got to understand, this is Jesus teaching right before his death, right before his betrayal, right before his ascension into heaven. These are the last sermons Jesus is teaching. This is the last stuff he's saying to his disciples, his people, his followers. It's important stuff. And he's saying, do it for the least of these. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. It's about others. It's about living not for ourselves, but about helping others. And I love how Jesus leads up to it. If you look back in chapter 22 at the end, he ends it with the greatest commandment. They say, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love others. Love God, do for the least of these. If you love God and you don't do it for the least of these, something's wrong. Something's disconnected. You're not doing the plan. You're not part of the team. He goes on to talk about things to watch out for, teachers to walk out for, people who are going to do things for the wrong motives. Goes on to talk about the ends of the age, what to expect. He says you're not going to know when he comes back in the end of 24. And then he gets to chapter 25, verse 1, the parable of the 10 virgins. And I don't know if you've heard this one recently or not. You know, I know most of us have probably heard this, but basically 10 virgins, they're waiting on the bridegroom. Back when in this day, they would wait for the bridegroom. He would be coming on a day, but they don't know, same as a lot, like the party Dr. Leth talked about a few weeks ago. They don't know when the bridegroom's going to get there. Get there in the afternoon, the early evening, late night, midnight, 3 a.m. He'd be coming from a long way off. And so they'd be waiting. And they had their lamps, and they filled it with oil. And five of the girls, virgins, came with no extra oil. And five came with extra oil. They waited into the night. The bridegroom never came. It was waiting and waiting and waiting. Their candles went out. They ran out of oil. And the bridegroom showed up and said, hey, it's time to get married. The party has started. Like, this is the big part. Even if it is 3 a.m., it doesn't matter. This is the party starting now at 3 a.m. It's a VIP party, right? That's when they start, late at night. So they go, and five of the girls are like, wait, I'm out of oil. Can I have some of your oil? Can I get some? And the five girls are like, no, you go buy it from the people who sell it. You know, go into town, get what you need. We brought ours. We're not giving it to you. We're going to the party. Be prepared. Christ talks about being prepared. Be wise with what you have. Be prepared. So you think, oh, okay, save up my stuff, prepare my money, do my stuff, you know, take care of myself, don't be worried about others. But then he follows it with the talents. The parable of the talents, the one we've all heard. A ruler's going off, he has three guys, he says, hey, I'm giving you five talents, it's a lot of money. Take care of it, do what you want with it, make me happy when I come back. Gave another one two talents. A lot of money, same thing. One guy, one talent. The guy with the five goes out immediately, makes five more. He's an entrepreneur. He goes out and does great things with his money. The king comes back. He's all happy. He's excited. He's a great job. Well, and faithful servant, you've done great. The second one does the same thing. Goes out, makes two more, doubles his profit. Entrepreneur, great job. The third one has one, goes off and just buries it. Keeps it for himself. Holds on to the things of the world. Grabs tightly to it. King comes back. He's not so happy. Says, you fool. Fool. You should have at least put it in the bank and got some interest. Got something. Not just bury it in the ground. Okay, so we read the 10 virgins and we can interpret it. Okay, well, you know, be prepared. Be wise with my money. Be wise with my stuff. You know, hold on to things. Be, you know, don't share it with others when they need it. But no, then he says the talents. Okay, so we're supposed to use our money and make more money. Okay, be entrepreneurs. Let's go out. Let's make money. Let's do things. Well, then he follows it with this, the sheep and the goats. So go out, make all this money, take care of ourselves, be wise, but then give it away. Give it to others. Help those in need. Serve those who need it. Serve the widows and the orphans especially. That's talked about throughout the Bible. Do these things. And if we really live that way, those are the ones who are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, who are going to get in to the party. The thing that's so easy to do is to be like the virgins and say, oh, you didn't prepare. You didn't take care of yourself. That's your problem. You're bad. I'm good. I'm going. You're stuck. So where's the balance? The balance is being a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. And knowing that the things of this world are not worth burying in the ground and holding on to and protecting with our lives. But people are worth holding on to and protecting with our lives. To reach out. To do good with what God has blessed us with. I believe right now more than ever we need to look at these passages with everything that's happened in Japan, with everything that's happened in Haiti a year ago, which we've already forgotten about, which is sad. I want to make sure I'm a sheep and not a goat. I want to make sure I'm doing something and not just taking care of myself.